Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. Joining us once again for the conversation, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. So with that, Shane, welcome back. A very eventful week, so looking forward to catching up with you today.
Thanks, Dan. It seems like we're just having eventful week after eventful week these days.
It would definitely seem that way, and perhaps a good place to start. This is going back to Sunday, the big development of this week, of course, being President Biden's decision to not seek re-election, so hence having dropped out of the 2024 race. Over the past few days, there have been a lot of developments, moving parts. So now that several days have passed since President Biden's announcement, where exactly does this leave the Democratic Party in terms of both the White House ticket, though also party unity?
Yeah, I think, you know, the wagons are circling around Vice President Harris to be the Democratic nominee for president. You've seen over the past few days, almost a show of unity where, you know, senators, representatives, former presidents, et cetera, have come out in support of Vice President Harris being the nominee for a Democrat. So this is, I think, to some degree helping unify them. The process is still developing. The DNC, Democratic National Committee, Rules Committee, met yesterday, and they set out kind of a timeline for the next coming weeks where, you know, candidates must declare for their candidacy for the nomination by 6 p.m. on the 27th. And then from there, candidates have to verify and show that they meet the qualifications. And then in between that and the convention beginning on the 19th, you know, there'll be some behind the scenes work. There may be a virtual nomination. So the nomination may actually be in place prior to the convention. And of course, Vice President Harris, if she is the nominee, will have to pick a vice presidential candidate. So there are a number of moving parts here, but it seems clear to me that, you know, by this time next month, Vice President Harris will be the Democrat nominee, and, you know, the race will essentially be solidified.
With respect to President Biden, from the sounds of it, he has every intention on finishing out his term. So what kind of role will President Biden play throughout the remainder of his term and also on the campaign trail as well?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think, you know, traditionally when you see a president, you know, not running for re-election, it's because they're in their second term. And so they usually spend the second half of their second term trying to cement their legacy and really, hone in of what they want to be remembered for. And so President Biden has a compressed time period to try and accomplish that. So I would expect him to, you know, really try and focus on what he views as his top accomplishments, which I think are the Inflation Reduction Act, which focuses a lot on climate change, and also his bipartisan infrastructure bill. So I would expect him to be, you know, doing events and talking about those accomplishments and other accomplishments in the coming weeks and months and try and really cement his legacy. I mean, I would also say for other things, you know, I think he's going to really spend a lot of time on the Israel-Hamas conflict and also see if he can secure the release of the U.S. hostages that Hamas holds. I think that would be something that he would really like to accomplish, and maybe a ceasefire as well. So I think, you know, for him on the campaign trail, you know, it's a very interesting balancing act he has to be president and allow Vice President Harris to take a little bit more of the main stage. I think he'll kind of do what the Harris campaign wants. You know, is it go on the campaign trail? Is it kind of let the Harris team start to take over. Maybe he makes some appearances. I think that part is fluid while they kind of assess what is the most appropriate role for him to play in the campaign. You know, we did see his speech last night to the country where he, you know, kind of acknowledged passing the torch, and there were some absolute campaign aspects to that speech. So, you know, I think we're going to see that develop, but I really think he's going to be focusing a lot on his legacy in the coming weeks and months.
On the other side of the aisle, it's interesting. Last week, you and I spoke about the Republican National Convention, the RNC. These developments surrounding President Biden took place a few days following the end of the convention. So what kind of response thus far have we seen from the GOP in the wake of these developments? And further, what has the messaging of the Trump campaign consisted of?
Yeah, no, Republicans are, you know, essentially trying to pivot, if you will. You know, the focus for months, if not years, was President Biden and why he should not be elected. And so now they're pivoting to Vice President Harris. And some of their messaging, you know, you can easily, point in her direction as well. You know, you'll see the messaging that I've already, gotten emails about, and everything is that it's no longer when Republicans talk about Biden, they say Biden-Harris. So they're trying to connect the dots, if you will. A lot of attention from Republicans on Vice President Harris. And, you know, one of her first assignments in the Biden administration was to focus on immigration and the southern border. So, you know, they're, Republicans are focusing her as the border czar and trying to make the case that her efforts are failed and did not, you know, do anything to secure the border. So Republicans are pivoting and making the case that, you know, voting for Harris is equivalent to voting for Biden. You know, will that resonate with Americans? I think, you know, to some degree, yes. But also, I think voters will see that there are some differences between Biden and Harris, and, you know, but I think Republicans see their best opportunity is to tie her to many of the Biden policies they believe Americans see as failures.
Shall see how this all takes shape in the weeks ahead. It will be very interesting to follow. So thank you, Shane, for bringing us up to speed on what we've learned about, what we've witnessed over the past few days with respect to these developments surrounding President Biden. Switching gears a bit, following up on a story we spoke about from last week, you had mentioned how this week, it was this past Monday, Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle testified before Congress about the recent assassination attempt against former President Trump. So a lot has happened since then. I'm curious what you took away from the testimony. And it's interesting what might come next, considering that we did see a Director Cheadle resign from her post earlier this week.
Yeah, you know, before she resigned, that hearing that you mentioned may have been one of the most bipartisan things I've seen in Congress in a while. You know, both sides, Republicans and Democrats, you know, really took her to task for the security failures of former President Trump. And, you know, since that, you know, she obviously resigned, but Congress also, the House had a unanimous vote in favor of setting up a task force to look into this issue. And, you know, it was quite remarkable that it was unanimous. It was 416-0. And so I think that will be the next stage, is we're going to see who's, you know, appointed to this task force. I think you'll see some serious members of Congress who especially have, you know, maybe military backgrounds and security backgrounds who, you know, maybe more versed in, you know, security issues and what should have happened. So I think that's going to be established pretty soon, and members will be named to this bipartisan task force. And I think that will be the major outlet of the House, at least, for investigating the failures of the Secret Service. You know, as for the future leadership of the Secret Service, I think whoever the next leader is going to be grilled about, you know, what that person will do to ensure that such an assassination attempt can't be so near successful. And, you know, I think that will be something for the next director of the Secret Service to really take on and not shy away from.
Well, Shane, as you noted, it was interesting to see that showing of bipartisanship, and we shall see how these investigations take shape from here. We'll continue to keep an eye on this story, though. Shane, as always, thank you for dropping by, for covering all of the ground that you did for our listeners, our clients, and do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
Thank you, Dan. Looking forward to it. I hope you have a great weekend.
You as well. Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. Before we close out, I do want to remind our listeners, especially our clients of UBS, that you can now locate the latest Washington Weekly publication on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.